Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Skankfest 2019, presented by Infinite CBD.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
The world's first comedy party, Skankfest NYC, is back, and we're going bigger than ever before.
Holy shit, I've done so much to make this a thing.
It was a lot.
Were you not a part of history?
This year, we have three full days of Skank festivities.
June 21st through 23rd at the Brooklyn Bazaar in Brooklyn, New York.
They want to hear the blop blop. Of course they want to hear the blop blops.
They want it.
Over 150 stand-up comedians and live podcasts.
Including the Legion of Skanks, Ari Shaffir, Dan Soder, Michael Che, Cumtown, Janine Garofalo, the Lucas Brothers, Nate Bargatze, Kurt Metzger, Jake the Snake Roberts, Doug Benson, Tony Hinchcliffe, the Goddamn Comedy Jam, Robert Kelly, Bonnie McFarlane, Rich Voss, The Anthony Cumia Show, Believe You Me with Michael Bisping, Ron Bennington, and many, many more.
It is the Legion of Skanks.
Skankfest NYC is back.
There was a fantastic universal sense that whatever we were doing was right, that we were winning.
Tickets are on sale now at skankfestnyc.com. Infinite CBD presents Skankfest 2019.
Hey guys, before we start today's show, I want to let you know that if you are a fan of the Real Ass Podcast, you can find every episode we have ever done on demand at your fingertips whenever you want them at gasdigitalnetwork.com. The latest 15 episodes are on iTunes and YouTube, but you can get every episode we've ever done, plus Legion of Skanks, Believe You Me, and 20 other incredible podcasts at Gas Digital Network. You get pre-release on all the episodes, ad-free and uncensored episodes, plus our live chat and message boards. Make sure you use the promo code RAP for a 14-day free trial to the premium service, gasdigitalnetwork.com. All right, let's start the show.
What up, motherfuckers? It's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez.
Bruce Reynolds, Thank Real Ass Dude, Ultimate Minority, Joan Jett of Comedy. I got a lot of names.
International superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny. He's a psycho. He's a real ass dude.
I was double teaming this chick with her husband. Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you fucking ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
Good time, I feel alive, and the world turning inside out, yeah. I'm floating around in ecstasy, so
don't stop me now, don't stop me,
'cause I'm having a good time.
I watched the Queen movie, and how much fun was Freddie Mercury having, just fucking truck stop bathrooms, just slaying that dick in anybody and anything that would move, girls, guys, everything. This is the life that you have, Zach, except you're fat.
Yeah, pretty much, but it's the same amount of cats.
Yes, you do. You and Freddie Mercury have eerily similar lives, except you are fat and not famous and poor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it, though. I completely get it. I like the movie. People hate on the movie. I thought it was pretty good. But they did a great job. It reminded me how much I enjoy Kiss's music. Whatever, Queen. You know what I meant, faggot. I'm reading about Kiss all morning. Why is Gene Simmons on Jim and Sam today? Is that why?
I have no idea. Why was he? Is he going to be a bad interview on that show, too?
Yes, probably. They don't care. They stopped caring years ago. That's right, Jim and Sam. We're coming for you. You think I'm fucking afraid?
I was actually shitting on Gene Simmons this
Whoops.
Time.
Whoops. Sorry. A little bit of a Freudian slip there. Welcome to the Real Ass Podcast, motherfuckers. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. We're not fucking around. Great show planned today. International superstar Zach D'Amico. Hold on, edit that. International superstar Zach D'Amico. Edit it, Shannon. I mean that. You're really doing it this time. International superstar Zach D'Amico.
Hey, buddy.
To my right.
And you know what? I do agree with you. Kiss has been phoning in ever since Anthony got fired.
Oh, boy. Turn this on. Turn it up right now. That's a good part of the song. It's also not gay music. This is like music you can fuck a dude to and feel straight.
That's how they get you.
I know. Also in studio, very excited to have, for the first time on this podcast, it's a chick, but she's white, so don't hate just yet, everyone. Stand-up comedian Catherine Henson joins the show. You can follow her on Instagram, Ooh Girl, You Nasty, EWYOU Girl, You Nasty.
My cock is made of soy.
Your cock is made of soy.
So I am a chick, but...
You're a chick. Yeah. Is that a chickpea joke? What was that? I don't understand what that was.
I guess I'm a female, but, you know, we'll get into it. We're about to get to know each other.
I don't know what just happened there, but I was she making a chickpea joke?
No, I don't think so.
I don't know what I was doing.
I don't know exactly what happened, but I like it.
I had Catherine. A long night.
You're a strange chick, and I like it. Yes. I met you at a comedy show a while ago, and I said, you're a weird bitch. You should come do my show.
Yeah.
Literally, I think I said those words directly to your face.
Yeah.
I was like, she's a fucking strange chick. I like it. She's unique. And I was like, you should do my podcast. And then I tried to get you to come on. You weren't available that day. And here you are. We're waiting on Tommy Pope right now. Tommy Pope, similarly to Shane Gillis, very disrespectful, walks into the show whenever he wants.
I found he just texted me and he was under the assumption because he was like, oh, I'll actually be there on time. Don't worry. I was like, on time was 8 minutes ago. And he said he thought that the show started at 11:30.
Oh.
So it was an accident on his part.
On whose part?
His part.
Okay.
100. I could show you the text.
All right, Shannon. Just making sure. We don't fuck around. Here, Catherine, you know what I like you seeing? When you walk into my environment, this is not a normal podcast. When you go to, what's the last podcast you did?
I think it was in somebody's bedroom.
Right?
Yeah.
Some wires laying across the bed. There was cat hair everywhere.
Yeah, something was in, they were holding whatever it was that was recording in their hand.
If it makes you any more comfortable, Lewis and I do sleep in here.
Oh, it's true. Nice.
Yeah.
Where?
I usually sleep inside of Zach.
He just like curls up in the fireplace in there.
Catherine, we're going to be joined by Tommy Pope here in a few minutes, which is fine. Let's get some plugs out of the way really quick. We get to shine the light on Catherine a little bit, which is actually better. Tommy doesn't deserve the light today as he shows up late for my fucking podcast. Very disrespectful. You get three strikes in my world, and that's that, okay? But yeah, this is a different world here, Catherine. We have a beautiful studio. We have staff. We have multiple producers. People are grabbing you things. Anything you need right now, this is it.
I feel like I feel like I have a father. That's
right?
How this is done.
You're right.
Done.
You can call me daddy the whole show. I have no problem with that, Catherine. So look, really quick, let's plug what we're going to plug. What would you like to plug? Take this moment.
I mean, just I put everything that I'm doing on Instagram and on my website. So just you, girl, you nasty. I perform every night. I mean, nothing's. It's just, you know how it is.
Yeah.
Same shit, different day,
barely.
I guess.
I go twice a week at most now. Twice a week on a good week. Zach Amico.
Twitter and Instagram, Zach is not funny. Check out my other show on the network. Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show every Friday at midnight. Comics watching horror movies.
Yeah, boyies. I will be tonight through Saturday night down the shore with Justin Silver. We're going out tonight. If you're in Jersey listening to this bitch live, I'm going to be at Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club, Point Pleasant, New Jersey. Got a couple new jokes. Couple new jokes, guys. Now that the special's coming out, which is April 1st, you can purchase the special anywhere you buy comedy specials. April 1st, Luis J. Gomez presents Luis J. Gomez. Working on some new material. It's going to be very raw. I'm doing a lot of the material from the special, so if you obviously you haven't purchased it yet, so you can still see that live the way it's intended to be seen tonight through Saturday night, Point Pleasant, New Jersey. April 12th, I got a gig in Connecticut. I promise you I'm going to post it. Not only that, I'm going to pin it to my Twitter. I'm going to pin that bitch to my Twitter. So go to Twitter at Luis J. Gomez, and you can see that gig in Connecticut, which I keep on forgetting to fucking get the information for every time I do a goddamn show. Also, Skankfest tickets. We're down to 40 tickets. 40 tickets, all access tickets. This is it. We are coming down to the wire. Within a week, they're going to be completely gone. You're not going to be able to come and experience Skankfest in its entirety unless you get your tickets right now. Skankfestnyc.com. 3 full days of comedy mayhem. Partying nonstop, podcasts nonstop, stand-up comedy nonstop, panels, discussions, special events, surprises, games, you name it. It is the most fucking fun you're going to have at a comedy event in your entire life. I ask anybody who's been to Skankfest, anybody who's been, ask them how they felt about it. They're going to tell you it's the greatest thing ever, okay? SkankfestNYC.com, obviously the Legion of Skanks, so many other comedians, Michael Che, Kurt Metzger's coming into town, Rich Voss, Robert Kelly, Jake the Snake Roberts is going to be there, Come Town Live, Anthony Cumia Show Live, Michael Bisping's in Believe You Me with myself, Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show. I mean, dude, I can list 150 comedians, or you can just go to the website and check it out for yourself. SkankfestNYC.com. Also go to iTunes right now, leave us a 5-star ranking, positive review. You know what I noticed, Shannon? We have a lot of fucking hardcore fans that review the fuck out of this show.
We really do. The past couple of months, like, that bowl has been filled with names.
Goddamn right. Yeah. Okay. So what we do is every month we give away one piece of merch to one winner. One person, we pick their name. If you review our show on iTunes, we give you a piece of merch too. Just you could write a bad review. You could say, I hope Lewis's fucking mom is resurrected from the dead and then she dies in front of him. If you said that, that'd be a creative. You, all of you should be reviewing that this month for this show. That should be the review. And we pick one winner every month. Where can you get that merch at? Merchbump.com. Go there. Pick out the piece of merch you want. Who gives a shit? You can also buy it. Zach Amico's got a new shirt up too.
Two new shirts up.
Two new shirts. Holy shit. I get no cut from this either. That's not true. I own the merch company.
Yes.
The Amico, the Amico 666 shirt is sick. Can I get one, please, right now? Can you do me a favor, and I really mean this? Go get me an Amico 666 extra large shirt. I want one before the end of the show. Go tell Johnny I want it. I want to put it on.
What size?
Extra large.
Yeah, thank you very much. That's a sick fucking shirt, doggy.
He's running to go get your shirt.
Catherine, you have to, listen to me, you have to create an environment where people...
A great leader rules with fear and intimidation.
I was going to say, you're like a benevolent dictator.
Yeah, benevolent. Kind of.
Not benevolent.
Or the tater part.
What does benevolent mean, Shannon? Please Google that. And
I can just tell you.
No, I want to hear it in the. I want to hear it through the voice of a robot. Like one of those speech to text things, please. Define benevolent. I'm sure they have some sort of.
I have it where I can just say the word and then I can read you the definition.
No. I want to hear it in a robot voice. From now on, Shannon, I don't want anything smart coming from you. I want just bimbo-y type of chatter from you. Anytime it's smart, I need it to be in a robot voice. You know how uncomfortable it is to have a girl with that voice start talking down to you like she's more intelligent than you? It's fucking batshit.
I can see it's upsetting.
It's crazy. Catherine, it's crazy.
She knows the definition.
It's nice. Like, I can tell you the definition, dummy. What? Are you fucking crazy? You fucking sit there and you just tell me about the fucking prisoners.
But I'm going to read it to you. Date. This isn't from my own brain.
Yeah, exactly. You're reading. I get you're showing off now. I don't want that.
It's going to really take me. I don't think this exists.
If you just look up define benevolent YouTube, if you play a video, it's a fucking woman robot voice. I'll just bet. I'm going to take a shot in the dark. I'll take the blame on this, Shannon. If it's not, I'll be blamed for it.
I'm clicking the first one.
Shot in the dark. Shot in the dark. Here we go. Let's see what happens.
Happened.
America. Disposition to do good.
See, you're so much smarter than me, Liz.
Charitable kindness.
Charitable kindness.
An altruistic gift or act.
I am definitely benevolent, you fucking bitch. Are you out of your mind? You're saying I'm not benevolent. Okay. Duly noted.
It was a joke.
Duly noted.
Which I learned from
we
you.
We don't
you're such a great
joke
comedian.
On this show.
It rubs off
this
on
this is a serious show.
Don't humor him.
This is a news program. It's not our show. If this, we were telling jokes, we'd be on Legion of Skanks, okay? We take our life very seriously. Okay, Catherine.
Yes.
What happened? You were telling Alex when I came in a story, and then it sounded strange. And the only thing I caught from it was, I'm hungry or something like that. Like, I'm really hungry and I haven't been home or something. That's all I heard. And then I was like, what happened? And then I was like, no, let me not. Let me not say what happened, and let's save this for the show. So you get a very real reaction out of me, and that's what the fans want. So,
well, I have been home. I guess because I got so drunk that I threw up in my bathtub.
Ew.
Yeah, happened, and took a bath right after.
Ew, girl, you nasty.
Yeah.
Is that how you got your name? It's just people keep on saying that to you for different things you do in life?
It's deep ingrained in my just general essence. I'm also like from Reno. Do you know what I mean? Like,
ew, girl, you nasty. Yeah. I like it. That actually kind of works as a segment. We should do it anytime women do disgusting things on the show. Can I buy that domain from you?
How much?
$100 right
that
now. You got to give me the Instagram. You got to give me the Instagram.
More than $100,
$100,
I think.
That's it.
It's like $110. That's it?
110.
I know. I see you staring deep into my eyes, but you're not gonna. No, 100. No. I feel like he's gonna beat me now, but I'm kind of like.
I just want. I want the "Ooh, girl, you nasty" handle, and that could be a new segment on the show. You know.
Yeah.
It'd be a fun segment, and it's inspired by you.
I mean, I'm very flattered.
I'm kidding. What happened? Go.
I just, you know, alcohol. A friend of mine told me a really fun trick to find out when you get home. If you don't know, if you're in a blackout, if you have an iPhone, you can look at your steps. you can actually find the last steps you took and what time.
So you can find out if you stopped off and were raped somewhere?
Yeah, exactly. Like when you stopped walking.
Do they have it as like on a map? They can show you your steps?
They don't show you on the map, but it shows you what time you stopped going, walking.
What? You can see exactly where I went at any time on my iPhone?
We both just drop our phones into the coffee.
Oh, really?
There's no map, but it just shows me time. So like if you don't know what time you made it home, like I didn't.
Time isn't real, by the way. We decided that the other day. Remember Shannon?
but I learned that. You're mad that Tommy wasn't here on time.
Time isn't a real thing. Well, time is relative, right? That's the idea. Look, I don't know anything about it. This is the first time I've ever understood that statement. The other day. So you pissed me off the other day at the end of the show, the last Shane Gillis show we had on, where you were like, I was already in a bad mood. It was a shit show. And then Zach just like the icing on the cake. He was like, oh, you're also, you don't respect anyone's time.
It's my favorite part.
Yeah, no. So icing on the cake.
I do enjoy the icing on the cake.
So I took away his payment for the month, which usually is icing on a cake. No, but of course he just piles on at the end. He's like, and you don't respect people's time. So I'm like, fuck you too, Zach. So then I started getting into my head and then I was thinking about how Shannon said, I don't respect people's time. And I was like, I make the time. This is, time starts when I fucking walk in the door. That's when we're on time. That's on time here. That, I don't know what else you want me to say here. So when the, and then I started going like, oh yeah, time is relative. That now makes sense. Time doesn't actually exist. I am the fucking bearer of time. I am Father Time. Okay. Right now, when I walk in every day, it is 0000 AD. And then we move on from fucking there. And then until Wednesday.
Literally compared himself to Christ just now.
Yes.
I heard that.
Yes. Christ also, to be honest with you, didn't do much. Didn't do much.
I'd say that's fair. Yeah.
What do you want to say? He convinced people that he was doing some crazy shit. I'm also convinced people that I'm doing some crazy shit. And I have practical results.
I mean, he made
unlike you, Christ
dinner.
Had 12 fans.
I apologize. So wait, was that your crazy story from last night? You just got drunk?
Well, I puked in my bathtub, which is like that's an ordeal because it doesn't just flush down. It like sits in the U drain. So I have to pretend like I don't know what's happening with
the
my
fact
roommate.
That you even know there's a U drain. I'm impressed. No. That's crazy. I had no idea that wasn't even a thing. But as soon as you described it, and like, so it'll sit and it won't flush all the way up. It'll just,
and then it, festers.
Tommy Pope, dude, disrespectful.
So disrespectful.
He's really
from
upset.
The Shane so Gillis sorry. School of disrespecting Luis J. Gomez.
Oh my god, dude, it's up there. I'm sorry
it's
to you
good.
As well, Zach.
It's,
you're just
I'm
equally
fucking
disrespected.
Around. You know, I'm just kidding, dude. I love
not
you
as much. It's, I don't know you yet, but this is also disrespectful to you.
Catherine's cool, but you guys also look like this is the first time you're meeting the love of your life. Like, like this is gonna end with you guys fucking married with children, without a doubt, no questions asked.
I'm already sweating. I feel like I'm in love.
Yeah. Why not?
I just ran 7 blocks. I'm sorry. Let's get
no, Tommy. It's okay. I mean, I am fucking around, and it does happen. I do appreciate, you know, people just showing up and doing the show just in general. And I love you, buddy. So
thanks, man.
I'm happy to have you back on the show, dude.
Can't tell if this is like...
No, I do love
trying to get closer.
I really do. Are you doing Skankfest? Have you got an offer yet? We got to talk.
I didn't get on yet because I was supposed to be out of town, but I think I got all my shit canceled. So
good. Yeah, that's dude. Good. The first time it's ever been a good thing. We were just talking about other comics.
The story of Skankfest. All my other shit got canceled.
Well, look, we live in New York City. It's pretty easy to book a fucking great comedy festival. New York City is a great comedy festival every day. The difference is we put everything under one roof and we make it a really fun, you know, crazy environment.
Yeah, if they tried to do a festival in LA at the same weekend, it'd be a real cluster fest.
Hey man, it's a different show. Have fun go to Clusterfest. I guarantee you have a better time at Skankfest than any comedy festival in the world. I don't give a fuck what you want to say. What's Harrington doing? He's just fucking.
What is he saying to me?
Yeah,
I just need them a little closer together.
Yeah, oh, get up, there we go. Wham, 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 wham.
Sit on his lap.
baby. Winning. Well, you guys look like you're attracted to each other.
She's cute.
Yeah, I'm cute.
Is that what I'm supposed to say? I don't know. This is a lot of forced pressure. Thank you.
So, Catherine, you got hammered last night.
Yeah.
What did you drink? What happened?
Oh, liquor. Just a lot. I'm one of those drinkers. I'm a binge drinker. So if I start, I'm done when I'm done.
Really?
Yeah.
So do you, and you're also, like, when you hear that, you see a girl, you know, in 2019, she's a young female comedian, you seem a little kooky. Oh, these are red flags already. All of this is coming up. I'm going like, this bitch is already probably going to accuse me of rape. And that's just me doing my podcast. I'm terrified to even
I'm
be
not near even
you
near
now.
You right now.
I know. I'm telling you right now.
I've already
been. Keep the cameras,
yeah.
Shannon, split screen at all times.
Well, he raped me before the podcast started.
Damn it. I knew it.
That's why I was late.
It is a
perfect alibi.
Isn't it crazy that... I mean, I date female comedians at this point. You know, I'm living with one, and but I really do feel like it is sort of playing in traffic with female. Is that a crazy thing? Because you know female comedians.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I mean, I think any female can be a little sketchy. I think everybody's sketchy. I don't trust anybody.
Also true.
Yeah.
I completely agree with that.
Yeah, so,
I'm a skeptic of everybody and everything and anything that anybody says at any given moment. There's an ulterior motive.
Yeah.
Anytime.
Yeah. Even right now. You know,
guaranteed.
Just trying to,
there,
you know.
Well, there's a bunch of ulterior motives happening at any given moment. So you have to, whatever the driving force there is, most of the time, it's not to make you feel good. It's not to fucking just be a selfless human being. So whatever the driving force is for any action, it's going to be an ulterior motive. So I look at people that way and I don't have an issue with it. It's just that's the way of the world.
Hell yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, but do you think that, because I think male comedians are a little bit crazy too. But the difference is, I think the way that men and women work, women are more emotional, and I think that women are a little bit more vindictive. So when you're sort of dealing with like an already crazy type of subsect of people, and then you throw in the fact that they're fucking more emotional and more vindictive, it's like, you shouldn't date a female comic.
I personally don't want to waste my time with anything but me, you know, but it seems like a lot of people in comedy.
You masturbate a lot.
Yes.
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 Hot.
My vibrator is like drone technology. I don't even need dick anymore, but I just like
There's
a lot.
Drone technology? Yeah. My vibrator has killed a lot of young Muslims. It's fucking crazy.
But I find like a lot of people want to waste their time paying attention to other people and like pointing fingers and doing whatever rather than, I don't know, getting good at comedy.
Right.
And
it.
that's not what I do, but it's fun to watch, I guess, like from the outside.
I'm the opposite.
Have you,
are you the opposite? Total opposite.
You just want to accuse everybody?
No,
of
I'd rather just hang out and date than do comedy.
Yeah, I also agree.
100%. Comics and comedy sucks. Comedy's gay. It's so gay.
It is,
dude.
Right?
Comedy's so gay.
It's so funny because I'm putting out a comedy special and now I'm realizing how gay it is.
Oh,
the process,
so
I step back and I look at it, I'm like, oh man,
yeah, dude.
Who the fuck is this for?
You're spending every day going, is this word funnier than this word? Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, it's a little
Let's
bit
go
crazy.
Get drunk and finger.
It's great. Look, it is. Look, at the end of it, it is a very, I do love stand-up and it is such a unique type of art. But it's also like when you step back, objectively speaking, it's about as gay as
it's the worst.
Especially where you sort of look at like the status quo and what the average comedian's doing now. It's like,
yeah,
God damn it. I don't even know how anybody can just go into a showcase comedy club and go like, oh, I want to go. Let's roll the dice.
Yeah. I think when I first started, I was like, oh, this is neat. And then things started happening. And then after a while, I was like, what the fuck is
Eventually,
what
you realize it's your job to dance for 15 minutes so people buy drinks.
Yeah. And most of the time, unless you're doing like your shit for your audience specifically, it's very, like, you start to weirdly feel like a fucking clown.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When I'm at, like, a comedy club and it's not, like, there for me and there's three people in the crowd who maybe know who I am and it's like,
right.
And that's that. Like, I start to feel like, and the attitude of, like, you know, people, the entitlement sort of, like, it shines through, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you feel like an old, like, shitty, like, pianist who just works in a hotel lobby. And it's like, dude, you're just another fucking jukebox.
Yeah, I can't imagine getting clean. Like, you were just talking about boozing, like. Most comics to hang out with are terrible to start, and that's sober. I can't imagine not drinking and hanging out at like an open mic. Like, what the kill yourself?
Just yeah, it's a little bit crazy. He's specifically talking to you, I think.
He did look at me into my eyes. I was like, excuse me?
He's nagging you now like a sixth grader.
This is just my anger coming out for being late. It's just nobody's fault, and I'm fucking angry at everybody. I should be just mad at myself.
How long have you been doing comedy, Catherine?
I'm pretty new.
Like, I know you are.
Yeah.
Well, because I'll tell you, you have a brightness in your eyes.
I have hope in my eyes.
Right.
Sorry about everything I just said. It's going to be great.
I've been doing it like 3 years.
Yeah.
But the thing is like what I joke about, it's not doing me any favors. Like I joke about how I used to smoke meth. I joke about that.
Did you used to smoke meth?
Yeah.
You don't
talk
seem
about
like that type of chick. That's crazy.
Skinny?
I can't you hear it in my voice? I mean, I sound like Al Capone's hooker.
Like, you have also a very unique voice. I think that's why I wanted to have you on the podcast. When I heard your voice, I was like, this bitch got all, first of all, she's just silly. She's, I remember, yeah. I don't remember what the conversation was. I think it was hammered this night. I don't remember what the conversation was. I just remember being like, this bitch is silly. And then I remember your voice was very, like, kind of unique. But you, so you used to smoke meth.
Yeah, like when I was a teenager.
Damn.
Yeah. It was fun.
Where'd you grow up?
That's the time to do it.
Yeah, that's what I think, because you don't fuck your life up.
Yeah, that's
you
the time like to do comedy, too. Yeah.
I don't even understand really what meth is. Even I watched the entire fucking season of... or five seasons of My Mother's Life. No,
it's my
Breaking Bad. Yes, I watched the entire thing. I still to this day don't really understand how meth is ingested, what it does.
Yeah. Stop watching a fake show. Watch this HBO documentary called Meth Storm. I watched it 3 days ago.
Oh shit!
Fucking unbelievable.
I like watching things like because I'm you know, like I would smoke meth again.
You would
what?
Yeah, I mean. Why not? Wow. You know, because like I feel very far away from like addiction.
Spell a segment.
And I really like smoking it because there's like an art to it. Because you can, if you fuck it up, you can lose the drugs. Yeah. Like if you light it, it's called like you black hole it, and you could lose all of your drugs.
Oh, so you have to. Yeah. So you the have first to couple do it times, a certain way. Like the first time I did cocaine, I didn't know how to cut up coke, and I was in a bathroom. First time I ever bought cocaine in my life, I was maybe 19 or 20 years old. Not the first time I did it. First time I bought it like independently, and I was gonna do coke by myself. Like was out with my friends at a bar. I went to the bathroom and I put it on the top of the porcelain toilet. Without even realizing, like right above it, there was a soap dispenser that people had missed. There was like soap that was like on the thing. Yuck. I poured all of the coke out the first time because I didn't know how to do this. And I just chopped the coke into the soap. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, well, I'm not going to waste $60. I'm 19. So I started snorting soap coke. And yeah, dude, it was pretty awesome, to be honest.
Really?
I just picture you hiccuping a bubble like Dumbo.
Also, if you inhale it, can it crystallize in your lungs so you have to get it out right away? Is that true?
I don't know. I mean, maybe.
Yeah. So, how old are you now?
I'm 31, but I feel like I look good. I look younger.
Ew, girl, you nasty. Yeah. This is once again. I get it now.
Yeah. Yeah.
For a method, you look great.
Thank you. Well, I mean, it was a while ago, but appreciate it.
You do look young. You can easily play college.
Yeah.
Easily.
Thank you.
Okay. So that's good.
Yeah.
Okay. But you're gonna start. You know, you're going to start breaking soon. You got a couple
I'm
more
nervous.
Years.
I'm really nervous. I feel like it's going to all happen overnight.
It's going
one
to.
Night, and I'm just going to look like shit.
Yeah.
Like this puking in the bathtub. I'm like sitting, I'm thinking, I need to stop.
You should stop drinking. You should do yoga. You should be doing, Fuck. You should be eating facials all the time. Come on, boys.
I feel like the vodka's pickling me, maybe, from the inside out and keeping it fresh.
I drink every night. I look great.
Yeah. Anyway.
Tommy, you do look great, but men look better, a little more grizzled. You're like, you know, what's his name in that Lady Gaga movie?
Bradley Cooper?
Yeah. You're like Bradley Coop, doggy. So it's like, yeah, you're, you know, that's like an attractive thing. A man can be falling apart and have crow's feet and have wrinkles and like, and it's still kind of like, you know,
that's
sexy.
True.
You got salt and pepper. You know, you're a handsome guy, Tommy.
Thanks. But you know what? My love is starting to shift.
Yeah, I can see that.
Sorry.
This is how you get it to a man's heart. You got to compliment him a little bit.
If you keep talking about meth, I'll come back to you.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we can.
We could also just have a three-way love affair, to be honest with you guys.
Is Zach going to film it so we can all make some money?
Zach obviously would have a camera.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen and lady, I need to talk about DHM Depot really quick, which is such a great company. DHM Depot, I've been talking about this lately, and it's one of the, I'm so happy to have this company as a sponsor of this show because they make something that I fucking love, dude. If you're a big drinker, Catherine, you could use this in your life, okay? Because they make a miracle cure for hangovers. Their Dicetin is the thing that I recommend taking. You take two before bed after drinking. It's got electrolytes and DHM, and you wake up nice and rested. You have no headache. You have no bullshit. None of all the symptoms, all puking in your bathtub. It's not going to happen, Catherine.
Diarrhea?
None of the diarrhea, any of that stuff, okay? I used to get crazy bad hangovers. I'm getting older now. If I drink more than four or five drinks, I'm fucking done the next morning. Headache all morning. I hate it, okay? DHM, it's found in the Japanese raisin tree, and it's been used in Asia for years. It enhances enzymes in the liver responsible for breaking down alcohol and its toxic byproducts, and it also reduces the effect of alcohol that it has on the GABA receptors in the brain. It prevents hangovers. It protects your liver and brain, and you don't have to feel wasted and shitty and... You don't have to waste your time. You do, how many times you just don't do anything in the morning? You're not productive at all because you got a headache.
like today.
Exactly.
just
this podcast. You know, why not? Right now, go to DHM Depot. DHMDepot.com, DHMDepot.com, and use the promo code RAP10. Save 10% off any of their products. I recommend the Diacetin. DHMDepot.com, use that promo code RAP10. All right, where were we? So you were, how old were you when you smoked meth?
I was 17.
And did you smoke it for a while? How long did you smoke meth?
I was maybe like 9 months. Dang, so that's not a lot.
Just the whole pregnancy. And you're like, you know what?
Yeah, I'm like, once the baby fell out, I was like, we're good.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just, we were bored. You know,
you were 17, yeah. Senior year of high school.
Yeah. And
was it with a boy you were hanging out with?
It was a group and we would buy it from my friend's dad.
What?
Because he was like, it was very like how parents are where they're, you know, when they buy alcohol, they're like, well, as long as
only
we can keep an eye
roof.
On you. Yeah. Yeah.
Is it Midwest? Are you from the Midwest?
Yeah, I'm from Reno, but this happened in Sacramento and his wife didn't know. She was a night nurse, so which was very convenient.
Yeah, yeah.
She would go to work and then we would all just be high on meth.
Wow.
All night.
So how did the first time, how did it come up? The idea that for you, a 17-year-old white girl, which I guess meth is a white drug,
yeah, it's
right?
Definitely a white drug.
So, sorry. So
it might be our last crusade. It's the last one we got.
What convinced you to do it? You're just a bored teenager. Were you doing a lot of other drugs, acid, drinking, mushrooms?
I hadn't done any psychedelics yet.
But you weren't against it, which is hard to find.
Well, I guess I just hadn't done it yet. And I think we were looking for cocaine and the guy was like, well, I don't have any cocaine, but I do have meth. And we were like, okay.
And this is the father or no?
This was just
guy.
Like a guy that I ended up, who was like in the group pretty much. And
he's a little older probably.
No, he was around my age. In fact, he moved to New York City with me. We were, you know, dating, fucking, whatever that was.
So the guy who got you hooked on meth.
Yeah, his dad was like a meth head, and that is what the reason his mom left him. So he and his little brother like smoked meth with their dad, and then the mom like remarried. The little brother stayed hooked. Like this kid's so fucked up that when he went to jail, the family moved and didn't tell him where they moved.
No,
like that kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah.
It's like when you let a dog go in the forest and you drive away.
Yeah. So we snorted it the first time and it just burns. It's really not. But then when you're high, you're like, I don't give a fuck.
And so the first time this kid pulls it out, he's like, I got a little bit of meth.
So we bought the meth. And then me and this girl just like stayed up all night, you know, talking. Because that's pretty much all you do.
And how much do you take? You take a little bump?
Well, we like cut lines of it and then snorted it and it really burns.
It hurts.
Like it's not. But then you're really high. Like, it's like cocaine, but hours.
Really?
Yeah.
So
it's really more economical.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Heaven.
Yeah. It actually sounds great when you're describing
it. There's nothing natural in it. It's all just like drain on whatever just shit you can find. Like, there's quality of meth, like, you know, like kind of like Breaking Bad, I guess. There's really good stuff and whatever, and you could get shitty meth. But yeah, it was pretty fucked up.
So, Tom, you've done this.
I've never done meth. It's the only thing I've never done.
Okay.
Well,
I think I did it once by accident because I think somebody put out a line. And I was high for way too long.
But yeah.
It was never confirmed.
I mean, it sounds, I think we just confirmed it.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah.
I might have bought meth in Amsterdam. When I was in Amsterdam, I tried to buy Coke on the street. And this guy gave me, it was like a white powder, but it was the consistency of like almost like table salt. Like that was like the I have no idea what meth looks like.
Yeah.
I have no idea. But as you're saying, how much it burnt, and I did get a high. I took a little bit, but it burnt so bad that I was like, no way, we flushed it. I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck this is, but I did get a rush and a high. But I just assumed it was like coke that was cut like massively with horse shit, like really bad stuff. But maybe this guy just sold me meth.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. But you're 17. You're like, this is a good idea. We're just fucking bored.
Yeah.
And how often did you start doing meth?
Well, then it became like a thing. Like then that's what we were doing, you know, like why we functioned.
Every day.
Yeah. So sometimes we would like go to the mall and then panhandle for money to buy meth.
Dang.
And I like, oh, this is awful, but my grandpa had this coin collection, and I took all the coins out and used the coins to buy
what kind of coins are we talking
and this
about?
This is before Coinstar. You had to find a coin collector. It's the whole fucking
to-do. I mean, when you're buying meth, they don't care if you have coin. Like, we just were like, here's the change, you know?
Yeah.
Because you're buying it. Like, if we weren't buying it from the dad, you're buying it from, like, people who you're like, well, I would never talk to these people normally, but you have
to. Did you have to describe, like, the Buffalo Nickel to the meth dealer?
No, they didn't give a fuck.
I can't see this dude knowing what he got in his hands, right?
Yeah, no. No, not at all.
Oh, so wait, you use the coins for face value, not the value
like,
of the collection.
Correct. Oh yeah, God. Like I was like, here is like, you know, $5 in quarters, you know? Yeah.
That's
like
great.
Old quarters.
Did your grandpa find out that you did that?
No, I think he was dead at the time. So
so he's just finding out now.
But yeah.
Does anybody know anybody that's ever cashed in on a coin collection? I mean, let's get real. They're not worth anything. Menstle 33. Yeah, I saw this one. We talked. We never even brought it up. We're going to talk about this. Menstle $33,000 of rare coins and cashed them in a coin store for $29.30.
No.
$29. Yeah. $33,000 worth of coins.
You know, faces of meth right there.
There we go.
You kind of look like him, Tommy.
Thank you.
A little bit.
You kind of act like him, Catherine. So you're 17. It became a real problem. Were you really poor? Were you like a kind of white trash kid?
No, I mean, relatively okay. I didn't have a dad, but so in that way, I was poor. One, no dad. But. Right. My mom, you know, we were relatively middle class, just regular.
You were just fucking bored.
We were bored.
You were like the kids who, like, when I see them, the kids on the street in New York City, and they have a sign that says, I'm homeless, and you're like, you're not a fucking homeless kid.
You're just bored.
You're bored. You hate your mom. You want to be a dick at home. You don't want to go back there. So you'd rather live on the street with your druggy friends and fucking get a dog and have a cardboard sign, because that's sort of a culture in itself. If you don't have an identity and there's not much going on, those kids, that's like an identity. That those street kids, those heroin kids you see in the East Village in New York City, that's being part of a club. Yep. That's being part of a fucking...
It's like comics.
Yeah. Except I respect the street kids more.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
They're making more money most of the time, to be honest.
They can afford a dog.
Yeah, seriously.
Comics have to walk those street kids' dogs.
Yeah, so you were, and it became legitimately a problem. What would you say is the lowest point of your meth addiction, Catherine?
Probably.
This podcast.
Well, when I was deciding to kick
it. Blowing her grandpa for his coin collection.
Yeah. I mean, I stole from my mom or whatever, but when I was deciding to quit, this is awful, but like I stopped talking to my friends and I like, was you know, very on the internet as a kid. You know, the internet used to be like the wild, wild west. Yeah. So I basically...
You're 6 years younger than me, so...
Yeah, it used to be real different, though. You know, not everybody was on it.
When you were a teenager, that's when the internet just started really popping.
Yeah.
So your whole, like, identity and culture was there. Like, I was like, I'm going to join Facebook. Fuck Facebook. For years. Until I was doing comedy before I joined Facebook. And it was, like, out for a while. Like, I didn't really give a fuck. It became more of a tool to promote. But that was, like, if you're 30 years old today... Your whole world, your whole identity. Right. By the time you're old enough to use a computer, the internet's already popping.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, like Facebook had just come out, I think, when I was that age, and it was just for people, you know, who were going to college. Like you had to have a college email address to sign up or whatever. But I had an internet friend, and I was like very like I am, you know, withdrawing. I'm like freaking out. So he came to my mom's house, and I decided from San Francisco. And I decided I wasn't going to answer the door. Like, I woke up and I was like, oh, no, this is a mistake. And he crawled in through the doggy door.
Wait a minute. So hold on. You have an internet backup
for
a second.
This is really
so you
horrible.
You have a guy you knew from the internet.
Was he a dog?
He was not a dog, but he brought condoms. And I realized.
How old were you?
I was 17. He was probably 20. And I kind of realized if I don't have sex with him, he's going to rape me in my mom's house. So I had, you know, so that was pretty low because I just couldn't tell my mom knew something was wrong.
Back up for a second. What did Slow the fuck down. Yeah. I'm getting a boner. And I need to release some of the pressure. Can we take a break so I can go masturbate? What's going on with that? I'm sorry. Rewind.
Yeah.
You met this guy on the internet.
Yeah.
How did you meet him?
Just like probably when I was 14, just like in an AOL chat room.
Hot or not or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. There we go. Yeah, nice. That's what we were actually playing when we had sex.
And he's a little bit older.
Yeah.
And did you exchange pictures? At this time, it's hard to exchange a picture.
I didn't know really what he looked like, but I was so desperate for somebody to like talk to because I couldn't hang out with my meth head friends. I couldn't tell my other friends.
Why couldn't you hang out with your meth
head friends? Because I was trying to kick meth.
Oh, you were? So you were?
Yeah, I was like, I have to be done because I had gotten into college in New York. And I was like, I can't move to New York with a meth problem.
All day.
Yeah, right? So I couldn't hang out with them. And I couldn't tell my other friends because I knew they'd tell my mom.
She's cooped up. You're all alone.
Yeah. And I'd already been sent away as a kid to to like a wilderness camp and like a therapeutic boarding school. So I was like, I can't have that happen again.
She's fucked up. I love her. She might become the third chair on this podcast. She's great. She's great. Thanks.
So I was like, talking to this internet guy that I barely knew. And he was like, well, I could come like hang out with you. And I was like, yeah, you know, I could really use a friend. Well, you know, because I was having a hard time sleeping. I'm withdrawing. And then I hear the doorbell the next morning. I'm like, oh, fuck. I should not have invited this
stranger. But you invited him.
I invited him. But
like
then
a vampire.
I,
don't invite a rapist into your house.
Right. Well, also. And so I was like, I'm not going to answer the door. And he'll, I guess he'll just leave. And
he's got full balls. How far is the drive from San Fran to Sacramento?
Like 2 hours, hour and a half, 2 hours a bit. Yeah, right? So I'm like, fuck.
Had he jerked that morning, he might have been fine.
Well, he had the smallest dick I've ever seen. So now I that was also oh, like, oh.
She's projecting. But anyway.
No, it was.
Challenge accepted.
I've seen your dick at Skankfest. So
fuck yeah.
His was smaller. But yeah, he like went through the back gate and crawled in through the doggy door. When I was
technically broken.
Technically, because I was walking through the hallway and he met me in the hallway and I was like,
oh my God.
Yeah.
What did he say?
He was like, hey, you know, what's up? I was ringing the doorbell and I was like, oh yeah, I was asleep. What? And then we were like talking and then I realized he like had had condoms and I
in
was like,
hand?
In his hand, in a bag. And I was like,
sort of blowing him up.
Yeah. So I was just
pretty
like
condom balloon animals.
Yeah,
I didn't want to fuck. I wanted to cheer you up.
That's funny. So yeah, I just like had this moment where I was like, this guy is bigger than me. He might rape me.
Well, he's not that big. He walked through a doggy door.
That's true.
Well,
that's
yeah, kind of but I mean,
man.
A foot.
You know, I don't know. I'm also a 17 year old girl. You know, and so I was like basset hounds and. Yeah, so I was just like...
He was long with little arms.
He was short. He was short.
Small dick built like a basset.
If his dick was any bigger, it would drag on the floor.
Oh, fuck.
I'm sorry. I mean, I don't mean to make light of this. This is the lowest moment. Actually, your lowest moment on...
maybe just in my life, too.
His lowest moment, too. He had to get under the dog.
I sometimes think, I'm like, I wonder how that dude feels.
He's like, doing a rape podcast. He's like, I don't want to tell you this story.
His name was Ned.
Ned.
Of course it was fucking Ned.
Yeah.
Of course it was. So, all right. So he comes in and he's like, now he...
Like we're friends.
But is he being forceful with you?
It's like kind of friendly, but I'm realizing like he's come here with an intention. And I was just like... And I was just like, I can't handle being raped right now, so I guess I'm just gonna fuck this
right
guy.
Now. If this was a different day.
Look, I just broke up with my friends. I got into college. I can't get raped today.
Not today.
Call me next week, maybe.
Yeah,
we'll pencil you in.
So I was just like, I'm gonna have sex with this guy. It lasted like 30 seconds. He wanted to do it again. I actually made him a sandwich after, and then sent him on his way.
Wow.
You're the literally coolest rape victim in the world.
Thank you. Yeah,
not being an asshole here. I'm being sensitive to you, but if you know.
Yeah, I mean,
it's the best way to be a fit. I mean, she made him a sandwich.
I just keep thinking.
I was just like
go
afraid.
For the
doorknob,
you know? He's like, nope. Back out where you came.
In the moment, were you
that's funny.
Like he left? Did you feel like in a moment, like holy fuck, I feel victimized, or
I
did
felt
you sort
gross.
Of feel like you felt? Do you feel gross about yourself, or did you feel? What, how did you feel about it? Because that's sort of like the whole thing is like from his perspective. I'm sure he just got laid, and he says a story about him driving somewhere and getting laid. And I completely understand your perspective, where you're like. This guy literally broke into my fucking house and I was afraid and I was like, well, this is, we made a joke recently on Legion of Skanks where it's like, you know, technically if you're going to get raped, wouldn't you just rather offer the guy a hand job? That's what I would do. I'd be like, let me just jerk you off.
Oh, I think I would pretend to be into, I mean, I guess that's what I did. I pretended to be into it. Cause I was like, if I'm into it, then this is just over.
Yeah.
And then you'll leave.
Yeah.
And that's fine. So that's what I did.
Do you feel like a victim or do you feel shitty about yourself? How do you feel like with that in that situation? I'm genuinely wondering. There's no I don't have an opinion in terms of like, you know, I wasn't there when that situation, so I don't have like a strong opinion about, you know, you have every right to the way you feel, but do you feel like you were victimized there or do you feel like you should have done something differently?
I feel like I was withdrawing from meth and I like made a choice that I just, you know what I mean? I guess I was like handling a lot, so That it was like a choice I made.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to be potentially raped. Because, you know, who's to say if he would have acted, but it felt like.
It felt,
it felt weird. So.
You just sort of, and that's something you hear a lot, like, you know, women just fucking end up hooking up with a guy because they, like, they don't want to deal with, like, just like the whole shit storm of not having sex with this guy, even if it's not necessarily is going to end in a rape, but it could end, you know, in something with like a really shitty situation. And sometimes, like, you know, they'd rather not do it. Had you had sex with a lot of people at that time? You were a full-fledged meth head.
Yeah, but I wasn't fucking people for meth, you know. But I mean, I'd had sex with like a handful of people, probably. Yeah, yeah, enough.
She was a real hoe.
Yeah, I'm like thinking about it. I'm like, yeah.
You girl, you nasty.
Yeah, so I was just kind of like, well, just, you know, throw another one in the old puss.
The old puss.
I agree with you. I think you did the right thing.
Yeah, because think about the trauma of being raped, especially when I'm like
also
coming
like,
off of meth.
The creepiest thing is not him walking in showing condoms. It's going through the doggy door.
That's what
like,
I mean.
That's
I was that's
it's having to toss
me.
The condoms through the doggy door first, and then open the door and get yourself through
his boot one like at a time. Heist.
Like Indiana Jones grabbing his hat in reverse.
Like he's going through an airport security.
Yeah, that so that was the lowest moment, and you were like, "Fuck this! I'll never do drugs again." Yeah. You never. But you just said it a moment ago you would smoke meth again.
Yeah, because I mean that I don't know. I don't feel like an addict. I mean, I'm considering whether or not I have a drinking problem currently. But
you sound like you have a drinking problem.
Well, it's a binge drinking problem. Like if I just don't drink, I could just like go without a drink.
So you're not an alcoholic in the sense that like you can. I'm sort of the same way. Like I don't care about not drinking. I don't need to drink. I haven't drank since I was in Jamaica last week. But yeah, the Legion of Skanks. But I'm drunk right now. A couple of whiskey.
He got back from Jamaica on Monday, by the way.
I did get back from Jamaica, but I skipped last night. But I don't need to drink. If they shut down the bar on Legion of Skanks on Monday night, I wouldn't have had the staff go out and grab alcohol. I don't give a shit. I smoke weed. Weed's my problem.
Yeah. Well, that's not a problem.
When it's like he said, hanging out with comics, you kind of like have to drink because I don't want to talk to a lot of people. But if I'm drunk, then I'm like, oh, I'll talk to any of you.
Yeah, you sort of like go. And it sucks because that's the business.
Yeah.
Or it's any business. You have to get people to like you. You have to navigate the political world of any, you know, if you work in a hospital, it's not the most talented doctor that is making the most money, that is getting the most, you know, advances in his or her career. It's the person that you have to have the talent, but it's also the person that understands how to navigate that world and make the right friends, get the people that are ahead of them in whatever business they're in to grease the wheels for you. And that's just about fucking being likable.
Yeah.
This is why, Tommy, this is why you're nowhere.
Right.
You need to drink more.
Yeah, and I drink too much by myself.
No, that's not true. You are a very likable person.
Thanks, bud.
You're not.
You don't have to backtrack.
No, I do, because I'm unlikable. I'm talking to myself. I'm projecting onto you what I see in myself.
You can walk through my doggy door any day.
I know. Really quick, guys. I'm telling you right now, I'm loving Organifi. Organifi is my new favorite thing that I take at home. I use the green juice daily. It makes me feel fucking great. It's literally the only thing that I had today because I'm doing this new intermittent fasting thing. And it's amazing, dude. It tastes great. It's very minty, very sweet. In order to be healthy and to have a green juicing lifestyle, it's expensive, it's time consuming, it's a bunch. Dude, these are some of the ingredients in the green juice. They have spirulina, turmeric, chlorella, ashwagandha, beets, lemon rind. I think it's 11 or 12 different ingredients, and it's one little scoop. They have matcha, they have coconut water, wheatgrass. One little scoop, you pour it in your water. You don't even need to mix it. Dude, I saw an infomercial or like a YouTube ad where the guy was just, he did this with it. And it's not thick. It's not chunky at all. And he literally just swirled it around in his glass and then chugged it. It tastes great. It takes 30 seconds. And I get all the benefits of these amazing superfoods. And I'm going to tell you right now, I really, really love it. I highly recommend it. Okay, go to Organifi.com. And if you use the promo code RAP15, R-A-P-15, you get 15% off. Go get the green juice. Without a doubt, no questions asked, okay? If you get this, you're going to feel better. If you research the different benefits of all of these amazing superfoods, I mean, it's fucking great, guys. And I have to get myself into better habits as I'm getting a little bit older. It is a fraction of the cost of having to do these things and a fraction of the time of having to put all of these things together. Once again, it is Organifi.com, Organifi.com, and use the promo code RAP15, save 15%. All right, let's get back into it. Look, we have to talk about some things here. We haven't even gotten into the show. That was the intro. That was plugs.
That was plugs.
So make sure you guys go check everybody out. Tommy, anything to plug really quick?
No.
I love it. I love it. Tommy doesn't care.
Every time. I don't give a fuck.
I don't give a fuck.
You start learning. Just like you said, you just be likable. You hang out with good people and you have fun.
Yeah.
What are you going to fucking...
That's it. That should be what it is.
I'll give you my PayPal if you guys just want to give me money.
Give you some money. Why not?
It's Tommy.
You should do your own Venmo. Not Venmo. What do they call it? Patreon.
Yeah.
Won't you do your own Tommy Pope Patreon where you put your own content out?
Yeah. You fucking... I mean, I see what, how these kids are blowing up. Just talking.
Just do it.
It's fucking incredible.
Do it and plug it on your and Shane's show, but don't give Shane any of the money. That's fucking perfect.
Yeah, Shane and Matt's podcast is starting to blow up on Patreon.
I know, they're blowing up. Yeah. I consider myself a very big reason why that started happening.
Yeah, and Soder for the,
He was all right. But I'm a leader. And I had a...
All right, well, I'll let you know when I set one up.
You set the Patreon up, baby. I will. We will blow that the fuck up.
Every fucking day.
Look, some great stuff to talk about on today's show, okay? First of all, did you guys print out notes? No?
No, I didn't know that you guys had discussed.
Harrington, did you send me notes? Did you? I wanted to talk about this. There was a woman who, they had to turn a plane around because she forgot her baby.
What?
At the airport. It's a real story that happened. Pull this story up. Let me know exactly what happened here because this is fucking crazy. You hear this all the time.
What?
Hear about people forgetting their babies on top of their cars or forgetting their babies somewhere. And it's actually a, it's a thing. It's an actual, I don't know. It might even be named. There's a syndrome, but... moms are so tired. This is a real thing. They get so tired.
Get the fuck out
and
here.
they get into a routine, and when something is thrown off on the routine, like let's say there's a delay or something, or there's traffic one day, or a road is closed and they have to take a detour, it throws their whole routine off, and then they do fucking crazy shit. And people think it's just bad moms that are leaving their babies on top of their cars. But this could happen to any mom. This could happen to anybody.
You think so?
Likely to happen to Catherine. When she
I feel
kid.
Like somebody's doing this on purpose, too.
It's also true. Yeah. That's what I would do. If I wanted to kill my baby, that's how I would do it.
Leave it at the airport?
I would I put it on top of my car, and then I'd floor it. And then there'd be just that one moment where the baby's kind of floating in midair.
My dad would have left me on top of the car instead of a coffee. He always left a coffee once a week, and it would ruin his fucking day.
Oh, yeah. Drives me out of my mind.
On the way to work or away to football, he would just leave a mug, and then he'd hit the first stop sign, and it rolled down the front. Fuck it. He would lose his shit for a good 3 hours calling me a faggot and all that. it was my fault.
But so what happened? Pull the story up again. I want to see exactly where was this. Go to the top so I could read it, please. obviously I want to read the words, not just the... There we go. Now we want to go to the top of the article. There we go, just so I could read. There we go. There are so many things to remember, from your toothbrush to your charter, and on top of that, you are rushing to make sure you get to the airport with plenty of time. With everything going on, you're bound to forget something, either home or at the terminal.
We forgot Kevin.
Plenty of people leave behind bags, laptops, blah, 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 blah. So this woman forgot her baby. She was on flight, from Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, to Kuala, Malaysia.
There's too many of them anyway. Just leave it.
When she alerted the cabin crew that she had left her baby at the airport. The audio from that conversation has been posted to social media. The pilot explains in Arabic and English what's going on, asking for permission to return to the airport. What? I would literally, and I mean, I'm not even kidding this, I would... tell that bitch, sorry, I'm going.
Yes.
I'm on a flight right now. We're not turning this flight around. You can suck my... That's literally your own problem, lady. I don't know what you want me to tell you.
I 100% agree.
What are they going to do? At this point, if the baby's already kidnapped, anyone who's kidnapping a baby, if my son got kidnapped, my first reaction would be, well, he's ruined.
Yeah.
Ruined. Whatever they're doing to him during this time, he's not going to be the same kid when he comes back. That's the truth.
It also depends on what age the kid is.
Depends on how much they ruin him. If I have to look into his eyes every time and see the hurt that they caused him, that's a lot for me to deal with.
Then when you're done with it, you just dump him into a Coinstar.
Some flight attendant's version of this story was a lady in a burqa got up and said, I need to talk to the pilot. And then we all went, oh, thank God, she just forgot her baby.
Oh, that's so funny.
We need to turn this plane around. Do it. Do what she says.
Holding a baby to the pilot's throat.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy. I guess it could happen. Is she the worst mother in the world?
He's up there. I don't believe at the beginning of this story that it can happen to anyone.
I think that's bullshit.
I'm telling you, I've read it before. When you have a baby,
maybe if you have six of them, like by the last one, you're like, ah, fuck it. Where's Carl? You know, like you don't give a shit.
I mean, I've never had a moment even where he's been lost, like out of my sight.
Of course not.
For like, I mean, even like 10 minutes, like at a supermarket. I remember when I was a kid, I would get lost in the supermarket pretty regularly. I couldn't find my mom, and just fucking,
yeah,
you know, you find her eventually, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But my son, like, you know, I don't think I'm like the best dad in the world. I think you just have to sort of pay attention. But it's the reason I even researched it was because it's something that I consider. I think about it. It's like, fuck, dude, like, what would you do? And if my son was gone, I mean, isn't your immediate reaction like he's being just penetrated in that exact moment? A baby, too. You're like, that baby's, you know, it's not coming back.
They don't have a good return policy.
Who gets babies back? If your baby's stolen, I mean, I can be a detective. If a woman came in, she's like, oh my God, my baby's gone, I'd be like, lady.
Cut your losses.
Yeah, we need to figure out a way to get over this quickly.
Do they say the age of the kid?
I don't know. It's a baby, though.
Like in a thing? Like you have to carry it?
I'm assuming it was in a carrier, right? Did it say that, Shannon?
Like how many bags would you have to go, where's that?
I'm going to assume she had the carrier, stopped at the food court, got on the plane, looked at the carrier, and it was just empty Chick-fil-A wrappers. Oh, no, I threw out the baby.
Oh, my God.
I think it's easier to forget if it doesn't talk, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I imagine.
Yeah. I feel bad for that baby, but what are you going to do? I was, when I get on a flight, anytime I get on a flight, my go-to joke as I'm walking down the thing, like waiting to get on with everybody, like right about to enter the flight, like usually people putting their bags up, I say very loudly, I was like, about to fly. What could possibly go wrong? Every time. Makes Kim furious. I mean,
then you start handing out your CDs.
Doggy, it kills never. It's never done well. Nobody's ever done anything but scowled at me.
Kills right here.
Yeah, but baby boy, it's funny to me, and it's funny. Somebody gets it out there, you know. So once in a while, I'll see somebody laugh, and that person, I'm like, you fucking get it, doggy. You fucking get it. But usually one person, and everyone else is just terrified, because most people don't fly regularly. Most people fly once or twice a year at the most, right?
They're shitting themselves.
And it's a little bit nerve-wracking. But with all these like flights that have been going down recently, I just started fucking, I get into it, I'm sitting next to Kim, and I start Googling what to look out for on a flight if something's going wrong, which is like, you just don't want to even do that. You know, ignorance is sort of bliss in the sky. You know, how many times you've been on a flight and you hear just some weird fucking sound from the wing or whatever, and you're like, oh, that's probably supposed to happen, right? It's supposed to make a fucking...
I really enjoy watching like Midwestern moms lose their shit off like turbulence.
Oh yeah.
When it continues for a little longer than 2-3 seconds.
Yeah, they're like, ooh.
Yeah, and they start like fucking, they get that, you know, that dog on the lawn type look. Enjoy that.
Yeah, so there was a this is the article. Telltale signs. Shannon, edit that. Make me sound good. I'm doing what Justin Silver does. If you listen to Justin Silver's podcast, realize that he's a phony. He makes Shannon, anytime they stutter or say anything wrong.
That's not true.
I swear to God, they make them edit it.
It's 100% true.
What, like that cut it out?
Yes, like we're filming a movie.
Oh my God, you should listen
like
to Shane
they make it retake. Like Mike Vecchione and Justin Silver, they speak perfectly. That's the idea there. Anytime there's that, it's batshit.
That is
100% real.
This show has a fraction of the listenership of this show. The amount of attention you give to that show is crazy to me, Shannon. It's because they put you in the fucking logo. You make me sick.
No, there is like the amount of time that I spend producing that show is equivalent to the amount of time I spend on all of the other shows combined.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me get a coffee, please, Harrington. So this article, pull it up. These are telltale signs that something is that a.
Didn't you just say not to do this, and now you're making us do it?
Something has gone wrong on your flight.
Feel my palms.
What?
Feel
sweat. You're sweaty? Do you get nervous for flights?
Yeah, I'm just reading this. Will bug me out.
When do you fly? I'm sorry. When are you flying again?
2 weeks.
Where are you going?
L.A.
Cool. That's a long
flight.
L.A.
in 2 weeks. When are you going?
The 29th
or the 3rd. I'm going.
Yeah, 28th to the. To the 4th.
Me and Tommy Pope taking over L.A. We're going to get down, brother. You doing some shows?
Let's do all of it.
Let's do
some meth.
Let's fucking do some meth.
Let's find a doggy door. Let's read this.
Sexually assault some scared teenager.
I brought condoms. Don't worry.
At least he wore condoms. Did you wear the condoms?
He wore them. I did not.
Just on her fingers. Yeah. I haven't done this before.
You do a Howie Mandel. You put it over your face and blow it up with your nose.
Fill it with meth smoke.
So you get pull these up. These are things to worry about on a flight. This is important to know, Tommy. Also, it's really not important to know because you can't do anything. You, if there's a if there's an issue on your flight, there's nothing you can do except die.
Right.
So, wouldn't you? Do you want to know for the 30 minutes before you die that you're probably going to die?
Is this about malfunctioning planes?
Yes.
Okay.
It's about all of it, right? All right. So this is number one sign. The purser is summoned urgently to the flight deck. It could be, of course, that your pilot needs a beverage, refill, or something to snack on. But if you hear your flight's purser, the lead flight attendant, summoned urgently to the flight deck, it may also be a sign that the pilot has urgent matter that needs to be relayed to the crew and passengers. Stay calm and stay tuned for instructions. So if you, if they call that bitch to the flight deck, just know like, oh, shit. And that's for me. I'm watching everybody's faces, too, because if I see, I look at the crew's face. I look at like if the flight attendants are having a good time. And they're all fucking, you know, whatever. Then I'm like, all right, they know what's up. They know more than I know. They're definitely going to know way more than I know.
Yeah. Having a good time? Like, what do you mean? Like high-fiving?
Yeah, no,
like,
they're all gay guys and they're fucking having a blast. Yeah, I'll take one. Thanks.
Yeah, they have sky orgies.
Sucking each other's dicks. It's like having a ball.
But no, if they're joking around, if they're fucking, you know, they'll be playing fucking, you know, Candy Crush with words. On their phones, they'll be doing stupid shit, Candy Crush. Yeah. If they're doing that shit, we're fine. Even if it's a lot of turbulence, it's crazy shit. Now, if it's a lot of turbulence and I see a fucking flight attendant start going, oh, I don't know what to do, and just, you know, that's a fucking sign right there. That's what you got to look out for. Don't look out for some fat Midwestern mom next to you freaking out. She doesn't know what the fuck's going on.
So look at the flight attendants.
Look at the flight attendants. This is my, I'm going to give you my own advice for each one of these. Okay.
Well, smoke.
Yeah,
smoke.
No shit. Yeah.
you smell smoke.
Yeah.
When an airplane cabin fills with smoke, it's never a good sign. So if you smell smoke on a plane, no matter where it seems to be coming from, say something to the flight crew immediately. Chances are they will already know about it and working to manage the problem. This is how people get ratted out for smoking vape pens on planes. Because some cunt is like... Some cunt is like, there's smoke coming out of the bathroom. And you're like,
that's me. I'd be fucking bugged out. Just wait till we land, you dildo.
Yeah, if you, if there's smoke on the plane, if my cabin's filling with smoke on the plane, I mean, I'm assuming that it's death. I'm assuming that I'm going to start kicking out the window immediately to try to escape.
Yeah.
You're just going to fly out the window?
A horrible plan.
That's the way to do it. That's the way to
do
it. Dude,
I have something really dumb. Like, I thought about this. It's so embarrassing, but why don't planes have parachutes?
Why? Why is she laughing in your face? It's a great question.
I'm dead fucking serious.
One parachute.
One giant parachute.
Oh, no, never mind. She should laugh in your face. I thought you meant like individual parachutes underneath everybody's.
No. I'm sticking to this because I think it could be possible. Because you need both wings and you only need one engine. So if one engine blows, you're good. And you can float if both of them. You're supposed to be able to float.
No, I don't think you could float. I read that as well. That's like a fantasy thing. Look that up. Will a plane float down if its engines go out?
I think it depends on
the
size.
Nope. I think if your engines go out, you drop from the sky like a fucking giant piece of metal in the air.
I don't know.
I'm almost positive. Look that up.
Also,
I would have always assumed that we would just glide to the ground safely. And you know, you maneuver it. I feel like I could probably maneuver it down.
And the ridiculous question about the parachute. Apparently, there is a company that is designing just that.
Let's see. An aircraft will glide perfectly well even if all of its engines fail. In fact, the chances are that if you've flown a plane, you've seen it glide at some point.
Read it louder. And do it again.
Aircraft are able to fly through them. It's not true. It's not true.
Well,
what is this website? TommyPope.com? Fuck off.
It's my Patreon.
You can, really?
It's Dirk the Jager.
Dirk the Jager, with more than 20,000 hours of flight experience between them, proceeded to glide the Airbus
A330. That's a big boy.
Without any power for 19 minutes. Oh,
75 miles. Wow. And he landed at an airbase. So that's the only concern. Is like, if you can reach an airbase, you can get down with no engines.
Really?
Can you look up parachute on plane parachutes for planes? I'm telling you, there's a company that's designing it.
Hey, you know what, dude? I would have thought the plane couldn't float. So who am I to fucking sit here and be an asshole when Tommy's got a fucking great idea for a parachute in an airplane?
There's a whole shell underneath the not just the fuselage, but the entire plane that comes
out. They call
out.
That the taint.
Yeah, the taint. And then it'll float the entire body of the plane down to safety.
Are you saying that this exists?
I'm saying there's a company that's designing it because I once looked it up.
Oh, you know. So it exists.
Yes. I was afraid to even type it in because it's the dumbest fucking question I've ever asked.
Yeah, but how do you know it's not going to like crush houses?
I don't have any more. I don't have any more. Let's go to the next topic.
Yeah, but I would rather, you know, you break a few eggs to make an omelet. The omelet is saving 200 people on a fucking flight.
Yeah. Oh, and if it's water, maybe it'll be a soft.
You kill one baby. That's it.
The plane isn't going to float on water.
I think they
do. There's a lot of air in there. Yeah. Yeah.
Also, I don't know.
And it's pressurized.
I would have guessed that.
Yeah, that's why they have the big yellow inflatable ramps that come off the side.
Yeah, it's pressurized
in the
event
of a water landing.
Yeah, they do water landings. That's a thing. And then they say,
That was another question I had. Why don't we always have those, you know, those the buoys, the kayaks on the side of the water planes? Why don't they have them for big planes? Why don't they just
one of the main manufacturers
around?
Of the whole plane chute is Ballistic Recovery Systems, based in Miami, Florida. It's just some fucking Cuban guy. Bro, I got an idea. A parachute for an airplane. Founder Boris Popov started this company after a glider he was flying as a young man spun out of control. He plunged into a lake about 500 feet. His survival inspired him to seek a way to make aviation safer. The biggest planes equipped with the BRS parachutes are for 5 people. Okay, so these aren't fucking...
Oh, they're smaller.
These are for small planes.
Yeah, but this
planes.
Is the first step, you know? You don't know what's going to happen in 20 years.
Yeah. Well, there we go.
This is one where the cabin detaches.
Bingo. Everybody goes to the front. They snap the back half with the wings. Bingo, bango. Look at this.
That's not real, though. That's
Elon
just a
Musk can't get on this. Yeah, it's a concept, but, you know.
The plane that can detach its entire cabin in the event of an emergency. Concept that can drop passenger safety using built-in parachutes. Okay, look, Tommy's onto something here.
Yeah, right?
You know, I'm not one of these people that fucking hates on you, Tommy.
Yeah, that's okay.
It was a good idea. Give me another idea. Invent something else right now. I like it.
I have another.
Tommy's a fucking inventor.
Dude, no joke. I've
invented a lot of shit in my life.
I reached out to a patent lawyer recently about an alcohol-related invention.
Tell me.
I can't tell
an
you.
Alcohol-related?
Yeah. Tommy.
Is it alcohol?
No, it's not alcohol.
Trying to patent
it's something to increase production and consumption.
Tell
it's
me.
Fucking brilliant.
Tell me.
I'll tell you off the air.
No, dude.
I don't
on,
trust
man.
Any of your fucking animals.
They don't. Do you think that they have any fucking
yes, dude.
Idea how to do this stuff?
They're I told show ideas and pitch rooms that have already been made, and I'm not giving away this
Dougie, baby. I fucking...
This will make me money.
I gave people brunch all day. My brunch all day restaurant.
It's called The Diner.
No, Zach, it's not a diner. That they serve anything. This is a specific menu. It's limited. There's brunch. So we have fucking 30 different types of fucking mimosas and you know, Bloody Marys and you know, it's fucking it's all day brunch.
Yeah.
Anytime you want brunch, 7 days a week, you can go there and grab brunch with your friends. Grab a fucking dope ass Bloody Mary. I gave that to go make it. You know what I do, Tommy? I create ideas.
No, it's not like my idea.
No, it's a better idea than
no,
your idea. All right, so tell what your idea and we'll decide. We'll have a vote. What's a better idea, brunch all day or Tommy J.
Pope's? Can't talk me into it. Can I have another coffee?
Tommy's getting nervous. He's sweating more.
I'm nervous about the next fact.
All right, let's go to the next fact. By the way, I'm growing in my facial hair forever, guys. Never shave it again.
Can you grow a beard or no?
No, this is as thick as it
That's
gets.
That's it? Yeah. But you got that pirate thing and it works for you. My
yeah, it's a little
like
scraggly,
that.
But I kind of like it. My
no,
girlfriend
like
likes
this.
It.
I like how this comes up and then you got that. And the rest pirate-y. Of it is like an Asian.
It's bad.
It's nice.
Yeah.
No, it looks fine.
Let's see. Lots of dinging over the intercoms. Dinging over the airplane intercoms can mean many things, including the captain telling the crew to prepare for a cabin landing or signaling that there's turbulence ahead, and it's rarely a reason to worry. This is exactly the point. Do watch how the crew reacts. However, you'll need to know when something... As you never know when something more serious might be relayed through that dinging. If the crew suddenly springs into action and looks worried, there's a chance that something is at hand. Yeah.
You know, you were going to come up with something to refute all of these. So since that was already your idea, what do you have for this?
No, not something that's going to refute all that. I was saying I was going to give you my own advice in that case.
So you're good with that one.
So, yeah, I mean, look, if there's a bunch of fucking dinging, okay, yeah, I agree. Yeah, look at the staff.
It's a helpful article. If the plane's full of smoke and the flight attendant's crying, you might be in trouble.
If you see a headless woman running around the cabin.
Things, if there's a gremlin on the wing, yeah.
your neighbor's on fire. Things are amok.
Good. Go to the next one. The cat, and also Catherine, I'm not good at improv, so please don't ever call me on that again. Okay. It's not like my strong suit is being funny on demand. Okay, so please,
you don't have an improv troupe.
Please don't disrespect.
You have the personality for it.
The down planes.
The cabin is being prepared earlier than usual. It's no reason to panic without additional information, but the flight attendants are preparing the cabin earlier than usual for landing. It could mean the pilot has asked them to do so in anticipation, or blah 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 blah. Okay, so yeah, I've never had to deal with any of this stuff so far. I've never had to deal with any of these signs, so it's pretty good so far, Tommy.
What about the only other thing I really worry about is the turbulence so aggressive that it can snap a wing.
No.
You sound like my mother.
Jesus.
She's the only one who raised you.
It's true.
Yeah, the other thing is apparently like turbulence can get bad where you like drop. Like the reason because like in my mind I'm going like, fuck your seatbelt, right? Who gives a shit about a seatbelt on a plane? But apparently this happens a few times a year where like the plane will drop and then people without their seatbelts on will just fucking,
yeah,
you know, bash their head into the ceiling and snap their neck.
I started wearing my belt after I watched the, what's that, that movie where it goes upside down?
Flight.
And the bitch falls.
Yeah.
And breaks her neck on the top of the, that's when I started buckling up.
Let's see, while your airplane wings will never snap off, even in extreme turbulence, say? They won't, Tommy.
Okay, thank you.
You don't have to worry about it. See, these are stupid thoughts you're having sometimes, Tommy. It's not as good as your alcohol distillery idea, but...
It's not a distillery. Boy, I can't wait till fucking I'm on some yacht smoking meth by myself. Fuck you and all your comics.
I want to hear this idea. I'm very excited about it. Go ahead. Go to the next fact. Next thing to be worried about. You feel a sudden and rapid change in pressure in your ears mid-flight. That wouldn't have bothered me at all. I would have never guessed there's an issue.
That's a break in cabin pressure, which is, that's a leak. That's really bad. And then everybody here, can freeze and die, right?
Well, here's what they'll tell you. I remember this one. Go back to the article. So it's normal to feel some pressure in your ears, but suddenly if you feel them pop when you're in mid-flight, it could be because of a rapid change in cruising altitude. It's likely not a big deal, but it could be a way. But sit tight. You know what's funny? I read a different article that had different descriptions of this because I remember reading specifically them saying the same exact list. Yeah. People are just fucking hacks, dude. People are not creative at all.
Their own ideas.
They just take this list and they just change a few fucking words. Yeah. But they were saying that sometimes they have to do that rapidly because there could be a plane like in the same lane and there was a mistake made with control fucking control people center. Or whatever.
Tower.
Yeah, Tommy. The tower people. We're fucking terrible at speaking. Why does anybody pay me for this?
Also, why I'm not an improv.
Yeah.
But you would feel the dramatic change in altitude.
Maybe. It's all scary stuff. Go to the next one. You see fire coming out of the engine.
That'll do it. What
the fuck?
I mean, if I saw fire coming out of the engine, I would start crying like a baby. I would literally start crying like a fucking baby. That's craziness.
If you had time, would you call somebody?
I don't think you can. We do Wi-Fi calling.
Let's say you could. Let's say you had one call. Who'd you call?
Shannon.
You fucking twit. Shannon, please edit this.
You stink. You stink at your job. I just wanted you to know that before I die. That'd be it. Go to the next. Is there anything else on this list? This list is boring as fuck.
Yeah,
oxygen mask was feeling. Yeah, all right, we get it all. Fuck it. There's 20 slides here. Ground approaching at a weird angle. The crew looks worried. There we go.
That's like the same as the crew one.
You're told to brace for impact. Yeah. These are all terrifying, guys. I'm flying again next week. So.
Eerily quiet.
Yeah. All right, we got it now. Evasive maneuver, we got it. We're all good. Thank you, guys. All right, let's just take a moment and talk about Coastline Kratom. I've been sort of on the fence about promoting Kratom to the fan base because I know you guys are a bunch of fucking psychopaths and you guys love to get high and you love to drink and smoke weed. But I've been doing more and more research on this, and the reality is I'm not promoting Kratom for that reason. Don't take Kratom to get high. Don't take Kratom if you have an addictive personality, okay? I've tried it. It feels great. The best reason to take Kratom, okay, the same reason Shannon takes it, is a great substitute for a painkiller. Instead of taking drugs, instead of spending a lot of money on, you know, these, you know, really fucked up drugs that are really hurting people in a lot of major ways. If you have some sort of pain in your life, back pain, whatever it is, any sort of nagging injuries, Kratom might be a great solution for that issue. But I've also had a lot of other people that have hit me up with this, and this is sort of an issue that remains close to my heart. Everyone knows that my mother was addicted to heroin, and a lot of people have taken Kratom as they've tried to kick an opioid habit.
I actually know somebody right now who is kicking heroin with Kratom.
Yeah, it can be a really great, amazing thing, and that's why I feel comfortable promoting it to you guys. I want to make it clear, I'm not promoting people taking this recreationally. I'm really not, and I don't suggest anybody do that. You should know what you put in your body. You should do the research before you put anything into your body. But Kratom can be, it can be really beneficial for a lot of reasons. So do your research. This might be something that really works for you. A lot of people take it for mood, anxiety, pain, to get off opioids. The trees, the Kratom trees, are indigenous to Southeast Asia. It's very natural, and their leaves have been used as traditional medicine in Thailand and Asian countries for centuries. So this has been around for a very, very long time. But once again, I want to just make it clear. I want you guys to, you know, be careful what you put in your body and always do your research and make sure this is the right supplement for you. Go to coastlinekratom.com. That is CoastlineKratom, coastlinekratom.com, and use the promo code REALASS. You save 15% off with that promo code. Once again, that's coastlinekratom.com, promo code REALASS for 15% off. Okay, where were we? Do you fly often, Catherine?
No, thank God.
Yeah.
I don't like traveling. I'll do it, but I'm not great at it.
Yeah. Why? Why don't you?
Because how do I know what I'm going to want to like wear or have, you know, 2 days from when I'm packing?
That's what it's about.
Yeah.
Man, that mess burned a lot of your frontal lobe. Oh, yeah. Boy.
What's going on? That's your issue?
Yeah. I don't like not having all my shit and with immediate access.
Yeah. You don't do the road a lot yet? You just started comedy. So.
I mean, driving, yeah, but not flying. Yeah, I know.
I see.
Not glamorous.
Not glamorous at all.
I know.
Flying isn't either.
It can be, though. I want to start flying first class. As I walk through that first class cabin, I make eye contact with these fucking people. And I know, I just want it so badly.
Oh, I thought you meant I want to fight them.
I want to fight everybody. Yeah. No, that's why I want their life.
I just daydream hauling off on almost every dude when I walk through there.
Really?
Yeah, I just picture knocking them out.
It's not even that. I've only flown first class once. It was like an hour flight. It wasn't even a real first class.
Yeah.
You know? And it is a big waste of money. There's no fucking difference. It's just, it looks just so comfortable.
Yeah.
And you get to be so judgmental toward, and especially it's a weird thing as a brown person, judging other browns, it's a weird thing. You guys will never know the feeling of feeling like you're a better brown. You know what I'm saying? Like, you'll understand what it's like to feel like you're better than brown people, but you don't understand the perspective that I'm coming from.
Mm.
You know? It's why I go to Equinox.
How much you spend there?
It's $245 a month.
Oh, that's why? Again, that's like the first, like, don't do that. You just describe why you shouldn't.
No, first grade's I describe why I should. You know, do you, it's not, first of all, I don't drive a car. If you have a fucking car, it's $300 a month, right? The payment plus insurance, all this stuff. So you consider that, yeah. Right?
Tell me all the amenities that you take advantage of.
I do the steam room.
Yeah.
Does not use the bathroom in his home.
I don't use the bathroom in my home. I shower there. I steam there. I shave there.
Oh, well, then I take it back.
They have everything.
Yeah.
If you want, Tommy, we can go steam after this. I'll take you after.
Are you kidding?
Let's go steam.
I have my gym clothes underneath. That's why I'm dressed.
Let's go steam. I got to pay a guest fee. I got you. I got you, baby.
Fuck
boy.
Yeah. Can I work out there too?
You can work out too.
It sounds like you do everything but work out there.
I did get pretty fat, but I'm coming back to the gym. Don't you worry about that, Catherine. Stop body shaming me.
I'm just, you look great.
Yo, we'll go to Equinox. This is one a few blocks away. I'll take you over there. You'll see the fucking difference. Have you ever been to one?
No.
You'll see the difference. And you'll understand. You're going to go, oh shit, you know what? I could spend $100 a month at New York Sports Club, or $80 a month.
$20 a month at New York Sports Club.
That's a good deal, but.
$20.
Are you going for a deal, or are you going because you want to be, you want to feel fucking great about yourself?
You tell me.
You look good. But I'm just saying, like, that's the thing. It's like it.
No, I understand.
It's not breaking the bank for me. It's not. Yes, it is. And it's not breaking the bank for me. So if I wouldn't do it if that was my line where I wouldn't have $245 at the end of the month in the bank.
That would break the bank for me right now.
I get the same stuff at New York Health and Racquet Club.
I used to work at New York Health and Racquet Club, and I used to work at Equinox, and I will tell you right now that New York Health and Racquet Club is a fucking scam. So you can sit here and try to compare it to my experience at Equinox, but it's fucking garbage, and it's for garbage people.
He goes to New York Sports Club.
At least they know what they are.
Trash?
At least they know they're trash. Health and Racquet Club, they try to pretend that they're a high-end experience, yet they're trash.
How much is that?
I pay $90, oh. But I...
It's for one location.
No, I get all of them. Ooh. I did a haggling thing. Like, I got in with, like, you know when they offer those deals?
Of course.
Yeah, and then I worked my way into $90 a month. So I feel pretty good about that.
It's a good deal, but we're talking about, you know, mine is 3 times as expensive, but it is 10 times the experience. So it just depends on what you want. And they don't have steam rooms at Health and Racquet. They have 2 locations. They only have steam. They have sauna, which is for fucking...
They have
is that what
steam
I have
rooms.
At New York Sports Club, sauna?
You have sauna.
Is
the dry
heat?
Sauna? Yeah, the dry heat. I like the wet
you
heat.
You got the wet job.
I have both.
Yeah.
They have steam rooms at a lot of them. More than two. 14th, 56th.
Nigga.
45th. I've been to all of them except the
maybe three. Maybe they bought another one.
And they got pools.
Yeah, so does Equinox.
On all of them, most of the ones have pools.
Also not true. Like 6 or 7 of the locations of Health and Racquet have pools. And also, as many locations at Equinox have pools as well, except I have 40 locations. And then I have locations in California.
You get to go to all of them?
Boston.
Is there only one type membership there?
You can get a single club membership $200 or $180 a month.
You only spend $245, you get all of them?
$245, all of them.
So
yeah.
For an extra $45,
except the special boy room that you weren't allowed in.
Oh yeah. So then there's a third level, which
it's just gay guys fucking.
That's really where he's at.
Dude, there's a when you go in the bathroom at
it comes with
sports club,
a free prep.
There are a few shady dudes that just sit and they stand at because there's a deep pocket in the steam room.
Yeah, there is.
And then just stand at the window and, you know.
Yeah, Dougie, I've talked about it plenty of times on the show. I've been sexually assaulted so many times in this room, but it's still worth it.
Yeah.
Still worth it.
Yeah, all right, I'm still going.
By far. This is why I say women when they cry rape. I'm like, Dougie, I've been assaulted. Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
At your gym.
I'm still going to the steam room.
I made him a sandwich. Sent him on his way.
In the steam room.
You're like, this is my guest. I'm just going to hold up condoms.
Yeah, it's the experience, you know, I'm not gonna fall. If somebody says, yeah, I have a BMW, I'm not going, dude, why don't you have a Honda, bro? Why don't you have an Accord?
No,
you
I
know,
get
you get why that, and that is the difference.
I just
in my
made
opinion.
Making sure that you're taking advantage of everything you can.
Of course, come on, baby boy. So we'll talk about this before we get out of here. We gotta leave somewhat soon. Gonna go to Jersey tonight, which I'm very excited about this. But James Gunn has been reinstated as the Guardians of the Galaxy 3 director, which, you know what? Good for them.
Yeah, that's,
what?
That's
why did he even get fired? Was it ridiculous? What happened? Do we know, Harrington or Shannon, do you know why he got fired? Does anybody know?
One.
You got it? What happened, Zach?
So Mike Cernovich, I believe, who's some type of conservative politician or conservative dude, was fighting with James Gunn on Twitter. His people went through James Gunn's Twitter, went 10 years back, and found him making pedophilia jokes. And
what were the jokes?
One was that he did a fake retweet on his friend, where he like put RT, his friend's name, I like touching little boys, a few things like that.
Right.
One was with my boss at Trump.
Oh, that's right. I remember this. Yes,
he,
yes.
He said, see you at the next NAMBLA meeting.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was just essentially a bunch of tasteless, silly jokes
just
from
stupid
when Twitter
jokes.
Just started.
Just right. Dumb jokes, right? Yeah. And he didn't think he was going to be an A-list Hollywood director in the future. What was he doing at the time? Just like small stuff?
Yeah, I think 10 years ago he had done Slither, which is a Nathan Fillion movie.
Yeah.
And then he was about to do Super, which was the movie he did right. What we watched the other day with Ellen Page.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, he made dumb jokes, and then because it's a Disney-owned company, they immediately... you know, buckle to the pressure because they're allowing internet trolls to change the fucking creative process, which is batshit. Not even people that are legitimately offended. Internet trolls that are just trying to get a guy in trouble. I don't believe that anybody cares about anything. Like nobody that kicks up, you know, dirt about, you know, jokes and being offended. It's all fake outrage. None of it's real. But Disney allowed them to fucking do that. And then they fired this guy, which was ridiculous. And what was the reason that they allowed him to come back on? What was sort of the narrative?
He did his apology tour real well, real quick.
And also, I think he got a lot of the support from the cast.
Well, the entire cast signed basically like a statement saying they stood behind him.
Yeah.
And that this is essentially his world he created. So to give somebody else the reins on it.
Yeah.
It's kind of inauthentic.
Roseanne of the movies.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think everybody basically said, I think Batista said he didn't want to, he wouldn't do the movie without him.
Really?
I mean, he's the guy also that looked at Batista and said, this guy could be in a fucking movie.
Yeah, this also...
This giant shaved cat on steroids.
Anybody could play Batista's character.
Yeah. But yeah, everybody kind of stood behind it, and he did his apology tour where he was. He said, listen, I used to be a provocateur in my former career before I worked for Disney. These were jokes for adults.
I think that's more offensive, calling yourself a provocateur.
Yeah.
Grow up.
Yeah, but good. I mean, it's nice to see that, you know, once in a while, even like major companies like that can go, hey, you know what, we were wrong.
And then you kind of let it blow over.
That's the first one who did it, right?
I know, but what's going to happen now is that will create an opportunity for everyone else to step back and go like, wait a minute, let's not be fucking crazy.
Yeah.
When you have, you know, I've talked about this ad nauseum, but somebody like Louis, who I genuinely believe was a victim of the time. If Louis, that story broke after Aziz, you know, it would have just been Aziz would have been the guy that was torn apart. And it sort of happened. And then the outrage kind of hit a head, and people went, wait a minute, we can't just look at every single time, you know, somebody does something or is accused of something. And we can't just destroy everything they do and their entire body of work. And we saw it happen with Aziz and then with...
TJ's doing all right.
Yeah, TJ's doing all right.
TJ got all right. Got out pretty good.
Was he removed from Deadpool, though?
No, he was in Deadpool, too.
The next Deadpool. I think he might have been...
Wait, which... What did he do?
TJ Miller was accused of...
Sexual assault?
Raping a chick with a beer bottle or something.
Oh, fuck. Wow. Oh, and then his wife...
Yeah, his wife.
Yeah, his wife said this chick was always trying to break them up in college.
Yeah, she's a crazy bitch. Which, you know, I don't think TJ Miller even denied that he fucked a chick with a beer bottle. He's just like, dude, I'm into some freaky shit.
No, really?
I don't think he even talked about it, but I'm assuming that sort of like was his. It's not that. Did he talk about it, Harrington? What?
He released a statement along with his wife saying that he and this girl had hooked up before he was with his wife. Once he and his wife got together, she continued to harass him.
If he was a real boss, by the way, he would have rolled up the message in a bottle. Go ahead, sorry.
But yeah, he basically said this woman has been haunting me.
He christened her pussy like a boat.
He basically said this woman has been coming at him for like 15 years now with these crazy allegations, and because the Me Too movement is surfacing, she's just taking the opportunity to bring
it back. And the more we have people take a moment to pause and look, I think that the Me Too movement's a good thing. At the end of the day, the fact that young men are, you know, thinking about what they're doing before they do it, even just having that moment to think, you know, I think if it would have been around when we were all younger, I would have acted differently without a doubt. I would have never fucking hung out to the end of the night trying to fuck drunk chicks. Are you crazy? Like now that sounds so rapey to me and so fucking crazy to me. But when I was 20 years old, 21 years old, that's just what we did. We'd wait till the end of the night. We'd look for fucking drunk chicks and we'd try to hook up. And this was just the way college worked and the way that life worked at the time. And it's just a different time now. And the reality is, I don't think there's anything wrong. Essentially, if two people are drunk and they want to hook up, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I think it's sort of playing in traffic. Yeah. And I think it can lead to some shit that somebody could be genuinely hurt or somebody could be, you know, things get misconstrued, things get blown out of, you know, proportion, then all of a sudden it's fucking, you know, it's just a different time. And I think it's not a bad thing that it's a different time. I think it can sort of be blown out of proportion, though. So, yeah, I think this is good with James Gunn. I think you're going to see more and more people, you know, at the very least, these major companies are going to reconsider just sort of completely tearing somebody down.
One of the tweets was about how he wouldn't do a panel with Victor Salva. You know who that is? Mm-mm. The guy who makes the Jeepers Creepers movies. He made Powder.
Okay.
Before that, he was in jail for fucking a child.
Oh.
Coppola pays for all his movies and Disney releases them.
Before Powder?
Yeah. That, wow. Powder actually had a big campaign to not be released. So he made a horror movie, I think called Clown House, and he got caught videotaping him fucking the child that's in the movie.
Wait. What?
Victor Salva, who's a big, fat, scary, gross man. Ugh. I can say that.
Pull him up.
Oh, my God.
Got caught straight up fucking a kid on camera.
How old is a kid?
On
Less than 14.
Ooh. In his own, like, dungeon?
Like, that's the picture they always use of him.
Was that? Was he fucking him on set?
No, they made videotapes of their sexual encounters. Oh. He went to jail for it.
Oh, my God.
He went to jail. Wow.
Yuck.
And then came out, made Powder and the Jeepers Creepers movies.
He's 6'3", 350?
And the Coppola family finances his films.
Wow.
Disney put out Powder, and one of James Gunn's tweets was, "Wouldn't go on stage tonight because I wouldn't do a panel with a convicted pedophile." And that was one of the tweets they took out of context. Because he then started saying, you know...
That's a good tweet, though, isn't it? I mean, for...
But they said... I believe it was something along the lines of, you guys wouldn't believe tonight they wanted to me to be on stage with a pedophile or hang out with a pedophile, can't believe it. Something along those lines that they misconstrued.
Yeah.
It's making it sound like he was at a pedophile party.
Ugh.
6'3", 350. Holy fuck.
That's all you can't get over how gross he is.
That's a mailbox. Like,
you're gonna fuck
dude.
A kid, dude, but you know, at least be hot when you do it.
Well, it's easier to take.
I mean, look, you think of a young, hot 14-year-old boy. It was a boy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hairless, tight, you know, you don't want this fucking slob just pounding into him.
Yes, dude. Stay in your
It's
lane.
Also it is a weird thing because isn't this what what's his name got in trouble for? On Rogan. The gay guy with the blonde hair, Milo. He was talking about when he was like a kid, when he was like 14, I guess, he would like hook up with older men and like in the gay subculture, I think that's more common than people realize. Mm. I think in every subculture, I think just with
just
garbage,
like
with garbage people, it happens a lot. We talk
you
about
it
in
the
hood, white trash neighborhoods. You hear about 14, 15 year old girls hooking up with 21, 22 year old guys. Yeah. That's not really a thing that's uncommon amongst lower class people.
Yeah.
But I think in the gay community, I think it's way more common than you think. And I think that what Milo got in trouble for, he was saying that it's not necessarily a bad thing because these kids are a lot of times lost, and you know, this older gay guy sort of shows them the ropes and like kind of like helps them figure out like their identity. I think it's gross. I think it's a kid that, you know, is being taken advantage of without a doubt. But I also understand the point that Milo was making. You know, what he was sort of saying was, it's not, you can't paint the broad stroke of pedophile over that. If he was having a relationship with a 14-year-old kid, it's fucking gross and it's a crime and you should go to jail for it, but it's also a little different than just saying convicted pedophile. And I think when you say convicted pedophile, it has a real, like, you know, I'm imagining him, when you said that, I imagine him diddling like a 7-year-old kid, not having a relationship with a teenager. And
the kid goes to all his movie premieres.
Still.
No. Protesting.
Oh.
Protesting.
Wow. He has a group, like, that's been trying to end.
What does he wear? Some fucking
so this dude still
he's just
makes
naked
movies?
Behind a sign.
He's still making movies.
Yeah, he did Jeepers Creepers 3. He came out like pretty recently.
That's crazy that like crazy. You have people like Louis C.K. who cannot create without fucking people protesting. And like, I mean, maybe this guy's being protested, but those are major movies.
So it didn't get a theatrical release. It was supposed to come out in theaters. They canceled the theatrical release, but it still came out on VOD and DVD and shit.
Yeah. That's crazy. You learn something new every day, Zach. Well, look, good for James Gunn. I'm excited to see him in Guardians of the Galaxy 3. I'm a big fan of superhero movies now. I'm a fucking nerd when it comes to this stuff. Like, that's me and my kid get to bond over this, which is fucking incredible. I'm very excited about the new fucking Avengers movie coming out soon, too. So, all right, look, we're gonna wrap this one. This has been a really fun show. Catherine, you're a fun chick.
Thanks.
I like you. I like having you on the show. We'll have
you
on again without a doubt. Tommy, as always, dude,
thanks,
you know,
buddy.
You're fucking...
I'll show up on time.
We'll be married.
Man, yeah, you and Tommy got to hook up. Would you hook up with Tommy?
I'll just be rubbing her belly.
I don't fuck comics.
He's
it's a good
comic.
Move.
He's like a
He's
podcast.
He's fairly comic.
Right?
It's a good
it's
move.
Not a it's like an internet show.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm tired.
Thanks, guys, for listening to the Real Ass Podcast. We will be back on Friday. Peace.
That's all, folks.